the streets, the hustlers and drug dealers. If you question who we be, just tell them that God with us. We gon' take it up. I like red letters over trap beats, the fix is in. Music blasting for the black sheep, yeah, it's serious. They like how you build and still breaking all their barriers. Turn me up. DJ Focus Dice Gamble, this one for the hustlers. This one for the CEOs that used to be the customers. Knew it was gonna be big when winning season seemed impossible. Woo! Coming live on your radio.
What they want?
That real and raw.
How they get it?
DJ Focus.
What we doing?
Making music, reaching the corner. And it's all for the kingdom.
And we gon' make sure they know it.
Woo! Coming live on your radio.
What they want?
That real and raw.
How they get it?
DJ Focus.
What we doing?
Making music, reaching the corner, and it's all for the kingdom.
And we gon' make sure they know it.
Ooh, we gon' take it there. I like red letters over trap beats to fix it in. Ooh, DJ Focus, tell him turn you up. Ooh, DJ Focus, tell him turn you up. Ooh.
Yes, sir. You're tuned back into The Fix, your source of faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. It's your boy DJ Focus checking in.
And it's your girl Dice Gamble in the building checking on in. Thank y'all for hanging out with us on this Tiptoe Tuesday. Woo! This is a good day to check in.
It is a good day. Come on and get up. Come on and get up and have some great conversation with your Lord and Savior. I need y'all to take y'all prayer life to a new level. And listen, I know we coming up on Resurrection Sunday. It's about 6 weeks out. And I want everybody to, you know, start getting posturing themselves and getting ready to just go to a new level. I always say once we get to, you know, Resurrection or Easter Sunday, it's kind of like almost like a check. Like, all right, you know, kind of look at yourself. You know, you're still in the first quarter, only, you know, about 3 months in, you know, but what you doing? You know, 4 months in, rather. Usually it depends. Sometimes in the March, beginning to April, it just depends. But yeah, 3 to 4 months in, it's kind of like do a self-check spiritually. So when I say self-check, I'm talking about spiritually. You know, are you serving in ministry? You know, are you, you know, trying to read your Bible every day, reading your devotional? Are you, where your prayer life at? Do you need to go on a fast? Do you need to, you know what I'm saying, make sure that, you know, you're praying with your spouse, praying with your kids. You're checking on your strong friends. Shouts out to everybody who check on their strong Christian friends who think they got it all together. They ain't got it all together. Just check on them too as well. So, it's about community. That's why I say that halfway mark when I get to Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, I kind of have that, like, mindset of on a spiritual, from a spiritual standpoint, making sure I'm good, and then also checking on some of my peoples, making sure they good, because you never know. We do so much, Dice. Sometimes it's okay to check in on your strong family.
Yeah, I would, because sometimes that front is just that. It is just a front, but yeah, there's nothing wrong with checking in on people, and you know what? You want somebody checking on you one day, so go ahead and do it first. Right?
Yeah, please do it first.
Do it first. So,
all right, y'all. We appreciate y'all for tapping in. Another blessed day with us, and we got a lit show for y'all. Y'all know we got a all the way turned up show. So, we blessed. We get a chance to talk with one of the pioneers, one of the legends. When you talk about gospel rap, when you talk about Christian R&B, listen, he been doing it at a high level, and he broke the numbers on the scale. This project he just dropped. He dropped four projects at once.
And broke a record.
Yeah.
Most songs ever released in a project. 61.
On the same day. On the same day. Ken Jones will be joining us today. Ken Jones. Nobody else but Ken Jones will do this.
Ken Jones.
Yeah. I feel like somebody questioned him. He was mad. They stole his laptop and he got mad, Dice.
You had to sit there and say, okay, I could drop this little 10, 12. Okay, I could drop this little 20, 30. I could do 40. No, let me just do 6. I mean, it takes a while for you to be like, you know, I'm just going to drop 61 songs on.
Just because I can. Why not?
Just because I can.
And they stole my laptop.
Yeah, they stole my laptop. But let's make the devil mad. Because you took my laptop thinking I wasn't going to drop nothing after that. Now I'm just going to drop way more than you thought I was going to drop. Because I know that's what it is.
Facts. And
now I'm being petty. I got to do it. Yeah, and we're here for it. And good luck. I don't know who is even going to beat that record at this point. And it's going to take y'all a while. Because this man been doing music for a little minute. So his pool and his family and Like, can't nobody just do that? But he did it and broke a record.
Yeah, he broke a record.
That's two records this week. He did that. No, and last week, Brinson did the NFT.
Yes.
Like, Brinson people are just, it, yeah. people are just out here.
Leveling up. The game.
Yeah. 61 songs, though?
Yeah. So, K-Joe joining us on that spiritual detox.
Keep it
locked for that. Y'all know that Real Talk conversation. Come on, we still highlighting some movers, some shakers, some trailblazers. Yeah, we're going to talk about, one of the CEOs and social media influencers and, movers and shakers in the vegan world. Shouts out to everybody who, loves eating healthy or eating a little bit better. We're going to just, highlight Pinky Cole. She's the CEO of Slutty Vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And just talk about, some of her life achievements and what she's got accomplished with her restaurants, everything in entrepreneurship and everything when you talk about healthy, too, as well. Dice going to bring up all the healthy stuff. So, Dice got receipts for everything healthy, every restaurant, every business. She's been to everyone from California, Atlanta to all the way back down to Florida somewhere. So keep it locked. We just closing up Black History Month, just highlighting some people. So, we're going to highlight Pinky Cole today. Justin Adams coming with that Faith and Sports Report. Dice got that quick fix and much, much more. So listen, 4 hours of laughter, entertainment, a little comedy, some real talk conversation, and much, much more. We're going to a break. We'll be right back. Keep it locked. You're tuning to The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
I'm Justin Adams, and this is your The Fix Faith and Sports Report. We see college coaches on the sideline every week coaching their players to do their best on the field or the court. But what does a coach's schedule look like on a day-to-day basis, especially while they are in season? I had a chance to speak with Arizona Wildcats women's volleyball coach Sharita Stubbs about just that, and she took me through her day, which included waking up before sunrise and spending time in the scriptures and also praying with her family.
My alarm goes off at 4, but I'm pretty sure I'm up by 3:55. I get up and get myself cleaned up. I read my scripture. I go and start my coffee, and I stretch a little bit, and then I get my coffee. I say a prayer with my husband before I leave, and then I go and say a prayer with my son, because trust me, he ain't up. And then I go to my car, and then I go and put on my continue my devotion for the morning. And then I go work out. I go to F45. I do that for about 45 minutes, unless I'm doing a double. So tomorrow will be a double. And then I get in my car again, and then I'm listening to a book. I love Audible. I just finished Killing JFK. And that was pretty amazing, just listening to that whole ordeal. I moved a little bit further away from campus. So I have about 25 minutes in my car to and from home, so I'm able to cover a lot of reading during that time. And then I get to work. I go then and do, I study Hebrew because I want to learn how to read the Bible in its original text. And I walk for about 3 miles, and I do my Hebrew work and learn words and doing a little bit of French. That was my minor in college, and fascinated with that again. So with that, and then I go get cleaned up, and I then have a staff meeting. Then my players are in the weight room, and we're lifting, and then we go to practice. And that's for about, and at the end of all of that, so that's about 2.5-3 hours, just depending on which day it is. And then I come up to my office, I have a breakfast a little bit, have a staff meeting again, just to talk about what took place in practice and start formulating practice for the next day, watch film, as well as do recruiting. And then I'm in the office, depending on the day. I'll stay here till about 6 o'clock, depending on if I have meetings or phone calls or different engagements on campus. I learned during COVID that you have to show yourself valuable more than just in your sport. And so I try to get involved with different things within the athletic department and on campus. And then I'll go pick up my son. I get him on Mondays and Tuesdays because he plays basketball. And then Wednesdays, that's my day to go home and just hang out with my husband, watch movies or whatever it is that he wants to do. And then typically Thursday, we travel and whatnot. So that's pretty much that.
So you see, Coach Stubbs has a really, really busy day. But you know what this really reminds me of? It reminds me of a verse found in Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. Listen up, it says this. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Again, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. New York Times bestselling leadership author and speaker John Maxwell says in the Maxwell Leadership Bible that Paul in Ephesians advises us to do these three things in those verses. First, analyze our lifestyles, utilize the present, and prioritize what is important. Listen, every leader gets the same amount of time every day, okay? That's 24 hours in a day, but not every leader gets the same results. If you're not happy where you are in the faith or your career or other areas in your life, it's time to do this one thing. Examine yourself and take a look at how you're spending your 24 hours. I'm Justin Adams, and this has been your DeFix Faith and Sports Report.
Welcome back. Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into DeFix, your source of faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. It's time for our spiritual detox. And yeah, Dice, come on. We got one of the legends. Shouts out to everybody who do real Christian R&B music, because I feel like the gentleman we got on the line right now, I think he kind of reinvented that thing. I know, you know, we had Kirk Franklin doing this thing and Mary, Dawkins and Dawkins, but when K-Jo came through, man, with the I'ma Stay Saved and Password and Jesus, listen, oh my goodness. Hey, they don't want the Christians in the club, everything you can think of. Listen, he gonna make sure he gonna keep that thing hot. So we was excited. Listen, Dice, I seen him. Mm-hmm. I think somebody made him mad too, Dice, because who dropped four projects at once? Who, like, that? I feel like he was telling somebody what you say about me.
He said it was personal. It was personal.
Yeah. It felt personal. It's like these little Thundercats don't think I rap for real, huh?
Right.
Without further ado, you already know who rocking with us, man. K-Jo in the building. What up, K-Jo?
What up? How y'all doing? Dice, what's up, Focus, man? Thank y'all for having me.
So first, I got to ask you, because, yeah, I can ask real hip-hop questions with you, because you a vet in the game. you know, we celebrated 50 years of hip-hop last year. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that the genre has been around for 51 years now. You know, if you go into this year now, what's that one thing that you think when you talk about the state of hip-hop culture, where do you think we are right now? 51 years into the game, you've been around mainstream artists, you've done your thing in the subgenre of Christian hip hop. Where do you think we line up at when you talk about sonically the state of hip hop, the culture all together? That's a lot, but I know you got a lot to talk about.
Well, definitely, man. I'm a product of that. I'm a product of, and we've seen hip hop grow up. You've seen people like Snoop that came in as a teenager or 19 and actually become a man that has children and has, you know, children's children, you know, and so you saw the maturity of it. You saw it blend with other genres, country, R&B, techno. You saw other people. You also saw people outside of the African-American community and the Latino community do hip hop, different people. And so it spread. It's a multi-billion-dollar business. I also feel like, it's a vent culture, though. And a lot of people come here to vent. You know, when you want to let off, you do hip hop. When you want to do anything else culturally or love music, you do another genre. Our genre is the only genre where you battle. You ain't never seen two country dudes battling each other. You know what I'm saying? And so they want to see us. They want to see us fight. They want to see us, you know, kind of Django Candyland type of thing. You know what I'm saying? And so I felt like the power of hip hop and the power of the culture that we just need to be in a state of figuring out how to love one another a little bit more and spread positivity. Most of the times when you think hip hop, you always thinking something negative, you know, or we finna shoot somebody. You know, that's the music that you ride to. If you're getting ready to get in that mood to do something, you ain't gonna put Shirley Caesar on. You gonna put on something that's gonna, you know what I'm saying? And so I just want, especially for my kids, for there to be an evolution of love and positivity in it. But to be honest with you, man, I don't know why it's like this. But it seems like anything that's positive is corny, bro. And we've gotten that. Even in Christian hip hop, you know, the corny, the cornball type of whatever, nobody really wants to ride with the cornball. And the cool dude is always the dude that's in the mischief. So it's like, you know, how do we make it both at the same time, where it's cool to talk about something positive. You know, I'm a man that's married, you know, and as a Christian artist, gospel artist, I took the risk of talking about love in my songs, talking about Holy Ghost girl. And it's frowned on, and nobody talks about love or talk about their women in the songs. But, you know, Pastor, you got two kids. I know how you got them two kids. So why we can't make music for it? And if we can't talk about what you do to get them, then why, you know, if you doing it, why I can't make music for it? You know what I'm saying? And so I kind of pushed just the I guess I'm out of the box, it's out of the box to take more risk and to talk about more subjects, because I feel like the more that we talk about more subjects and put God in it, you know, the more that people consider God in certain things. When you say sex, nobody considers God, bro. No, you know, when you say stuff like that, nobody.
I'm praying for him. Because look, the Lord knows I'll be looking for my wife. When I walk in the house, I say, listen, yeah. long day.
Right.
Long day. And God is pleased. God is pleased with what we about to do. God is pleased.
hey, bro. Ain't nothing like them angels floating at the top of the roof when you had a great night. You understand what I'm talking about?
Come through, bro.
Why I can't talk about it? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? The first mandate before you read the word Jesus, hallelujah, glory, and all of those
fruitful,
words,
right?
The first mandate before the Ten Commandments, the first mandate was to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. There is no way that you could be fruitful and multiply without sexual contact. You know what I'm saying? And so God was saying, before y'all go and start sacrificing animals, smash.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still practicing. I got 28 years in. I'm still practicing. I told her we still practicing. I ain't got it right yet. Listen, I ain't got it right yet. I'm gonna go back in the room. Come on, let me see what this works.
And everybody glorifies pimping. Everybody glorifies being with certain women, you know, but nobody talks about in the kingdom. You know, me and my wife celebrating 23 years this year. How you stay with one woman when all these women pulling on you? Why is that not the bigger subject? Man, divorce, being cheated on, destroys marriages. It destroys neighborhoods. It destroys churches. It splits up countries. It causes wars. Bro, why don't we talk about that more in our subject matter? You know, like, that girl that's shouting by that dude, like, they sleeping together. Or, hey, he ain't in anyway. But the subject matter of pushing the envelope with music, that's what I've always done. I've always kind of tried to tell my life. You said they don't let them Christians in the club. Every song to me is kind of like a story. You know, we actually lived that. Like one day we rented out, Club 112 and had church in the hottest club in Atlanta. And so that's what the song is about. And so most of the times, man, it's real life for me. This last situation, dropping four projects. It's called They Stole My Computer. That's the name of it. And I went through a real, real weird time when that happened. I vent in my music. So every air condition has a vent. You shut that vent off, that unit is going to explode. And yes, so sir. The place where I vent, you know, how I dealt with my mom's death, my dad's death, you know, tough times in our lives. You know, if I tell you what I'm talking about on certain songs, you'll be like, oh, you know, because all of my songs are coded. And so, you know, when my computer was stolen, I had no place to vent. And my wife said that I was in shock for like 3 weeks.
Wow.
And just because I couldn't do music. It wasn't, you know, I mean, it was because of what was on there, but it was still like I have no outlet. And kind of panicked a little bit. But when you, I guess, in panic mode or shock mode, everything to you is real, even though it's not real to everybody else. Like, bro, calm down. It's gonna be, bro, you got this. It's like, to you, it's real. And so the project is very, very I call it ghost written, because I wrote a lot of that stuff and then went back and heard what God was saying and just broke down in tears, man. Because a lot of the messages are to me, you know.
Wow.
And it's so it's called They Stole My Computer. It's four different parts to it. God MD, Kingdom Supremacy. The third one is called Time Machine. And the last one is I Am I Am. And God MD is like worship, R&B, chill music, you know, and my story is in there, you know, and, you know, when you follow me online, I'll be telling you specifically what song means what and what I was going through when I wrote that song. One of my most broken places is a song called Remember Me, where I felt like God forgot me. I took it to the story in the scriptures that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, one man to the right, one man to the left, one dude mocked him and said, "Man, if you're the Son of God, then get yourself down and get us down too." The other guy say, "Hey, I believe you. I believe you. So when you get in your kingdom, please remember me." And at the end of that story, Jesus always referred to, you know, throughout the Bible and throughout the New Testament, Jesus always referred to God as Father. But when he was dying, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And it's like, "I don't feel you. Where are you? I did all of this for you and I don't feel you right now. Where are you, God?" And that's where I was on that song. Like, "Man, I don't feel you right now. Where are you? Remember me. You forgot me." And I know that a lot of people have been in that place, but I decided to bleed in front of everybody on this one. Now, Miss Dice, I don't think I ever do that again. I don't think I ever do a project where my pain is real time. Most people come back and say, "Well, 20 years ago, I had a drinking problem and God brought me through." Like, I, you know, but this pain was real time. I was trying to give it to people raw, because there's so many people that bleed, you know, and nobody knows that they're bleeding. You know, I had a friend of mine that take his life, you know, a couple months ago, and he was the happiest, most joyous dude. Like, what in the world? Why would you? You know, and it's just crazy, but you know, that's the reality that we live in. So that's the project. The project is not just about that. You know, part two gets lit. We get crazy in part two, you know. Part three is old school. It's I got Bootsy Collins on there. I got Kim Burrell on there. I got Dottie Peoples on there, but not the, she ain't doing On Time God. She doing like a doggone DC go-go record. So it's all like out there. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what I decided to just put everything. When my computer was stolen, when I started getting some of the songs back, I just decided to put it all out at once, you know. And so that's where we're at.
First of all, thank you for coming on here. Second of all, I appreciate you sharing everything you just shared. But I have a question for you, because when you're in Atlanta, and if you grew up with you, you know, and you're in the same category as a Dietrich Haddon or a Ty Tribbett. And I was sitting today trying to figure out who you were, and I was like, it's like Smokey Robinson.
Okay. Yeah, he is.
So my question is, do you even know who you are? And I pose that because if you're in ATL or you from ATL, we watched you in every ministry capacity. With you, your wife, your kids going through, you start your own ministry up, down. So we see you serve. So it's crazy, because you would see you serve in the church. You see you serve on the street. You would see you do music with whoever's in the trap. And it was like, it's almost unbelievable, because you make it look so easy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just very natural, you know, and you are Atlanta, and I can't compare you to R. Kelly anymore, because we already know what he was into. But at a point in time, it was like, this is who, like, it was just like, it was unbelievable to see you go from a lot of adversity. When I mean, from the And it's crazy. And it, rest in power to your friend. That life is in heaven, I'm sure. But I'm sitting here like, I'm sure millions of people didn't kill themselves because you did what you, and I know because I was there. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I would either be in an audience, you know what I'm saying? Or maybe I would be in this, at the same venue, or maybe I went on stage before you. And that's why I'm like, do you even know? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. Like, has God ever shown you? This is the impact you're having. Like, you're impacting the world. It's not just Atlanta. You know what I mean?
Man, like, that's a great question. Phenomenal question, to be honest with you, because somebody asked me 2 or 3 days ago. They said, when did you know that you made it?
Right.
And I said, man, when you're swimming underwater, you really don't know where you are because you just swimming, you stroking, and you don't know where you are till you come up for air. And most of the time, you're coming up for air to keep going forward. You have to look back to the shore to find out how far you've been swimming. And sometimes, you know, you don't. That's few and far between because you're still hustling. And so I remember, man, my dad, you know, my dad passed in 2010. In 2009, my wife and I, we moved to this house. And my dad did pools. So I bought a house with a pool. I wanted my dad to come check it out and fix it and do his thing. And he checked the pool and all that. And he came in the house and he said, "Boy, you made it." And I said to him, "I did." Like, he like, yeah. And at that moment, I felt like I made it, but I was working. And man, every project that I've made has been for somebody else. 20 years, my first project was called 20 years, 3 months, 12 days. That's the day I met my wife. That's that title. Password is when I understood Jesus a lot more, so I called it Password Jesus. Love Jones is my oldest child, my daughter, you know, and so on and so forth. Every project was a person. Dominionaire is my son. God City is my other son. Justice is my other son. My mom went home to be with the Lord. I made a project called Ghost, and then I made a part that's from her. Power, I made in 2020. That was for my dad. So I was making this project just to, you know, really to vent and to help people, you know, with my music. But I was just putting it out because the original plan was to do EPs, not to do 61 songs. I was trying to do 5 songs, 4 songs, 6 songs, and put them out. I wasn't trying to do 61 songs at one time. But when I put the project out, it wasn't until I released the project and I was riding home from the release party and the Lord says, "You made this project for you." And he says, if you invert some of the song or like you figure, it's like you're writing songs for other people. Man, yeah, a person like this needs this. A person like this needs this. And I try to put myself in different people's positions so I can minister to them through song. And the Lord said that this record is for you. And I started to turn some of the songs around and I realized I've been writing to myself. And it's like, what in the world? Now, God did this one. I don't know. Cause so I'm going to start breaking them down so people can understand where I was when I wrote every song. And because it was for me, but it's going to hurt. It's going to help other people. It is probably the dopest writing that God has ever done because I write on the mic. So I don't write on paper or in my phone. I just think of it and say it. Kind of like everybody doing right now. Think of it and say it. And then I go back And I'm like, wow. Like, I didn't know that I was saying that. And then I didn't know I was saying that to me. And so, it's a song called I See You. You know, how can you serve a God that you can't see? How can you serve a God you can't feel? Well, when I see the sun, I see you. When I see the moon, I see you. When I see the stars, I see you. I see you, God, in everything. But it's not only I see you. I'm in ICU. I'm in intensive care. I'm in a broken place, you know? And so that's why I was writing when I felt like I was writing. But then God turned it and say, now it's for you. And then he's saying from heaven, I see you. I see everything that you're going through. I see what you've been through, and I haven't left you. I know you said, remember me, but Canton Jones, I see you. Woo! And so wow. That is a three-dimensional writing. I've never done anything that's crazy. And so that is kind of what the project is about. It's just God kind of speaking to people, but he's speaking to me as well.
Listen, Dice, he came on here preaching today. Listen, the legendary K-Jo is on the line. Don't touch that dial. We're going to break. We're coming right back with more Canton Jones. Keep it locked. You're tuning to The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. We still got the super talented Canton Jones on with us. And he preaching. How did you go about getting all these collaborations, like, on this project? Because, like, it feels like you touched every area of the church, to your point. No, you did. You did a great job. So this is for everything. The church mothers got a little something that they can hum to and sing to. Let's be very clear. Shouts out to the usher board and the mamas of the church, you know, because they going to do their thing. Then you got everything for the hip hop. You know, when you talk about Don Tino on here, 1KC on here, Zaytoven, you spoke about the marriages. Why was that so important to give that element of everything in this project? And then where do you go from here? Like, I feel like you just set the bar so high, Ken. What you gonna do next? You're gonna have to make three movies.
Facts. If you look at the artwork, it's a collage of me, different pictures. This is the first artwork, because I'm real picky when it comes to artwork that's gonna be forever. So it takes me forever to settle on certain fonts and pictures. And this artwork, I explained it to the guy through text. I didn't even talk to him because I was on some way. I was like, man, I'm gonna call you later. It's basically, you know, I see this and I see that. And the artwork he came back with without me talking. And it was the perfect thing that I had in my head, but I was like, how did you do that? And when I talked to him, he was just like, man, God gave it to me. And so I realized at that point, God's hands was on it. So most of the oldest beat, because some of the tracks I got, and when the computer was stolen, I couldn't really get back to mix it. So I just ran with the track that I had, and to keep it authentic, I just wanted to be like, you know what? I'm not going to remake the beat. We're not going to change the beat. I'm going to just use this beat, and we're just going to rock with it as is. So the oldest beat, this is a dumb story, but I got to tell it. The oldest beat on that is the Dottie Peoples track. So I made that track in 2018. My mom passed, and that was one of my vent sessions. And so... The heart behind the Time Machine, which is part three, which got all the old school. Now, there ain't no old school record. What it is if my mama them was teenagers and had music like what we did for hip hop, make Christian hip hop. If they had Christian funk, Christian stuff in it, what would it sound like? What would it sound like if their music was redeemed? And that's the heart behind it. So it's not church music per se or the church. It is their era, 60s, 70s, 80s, some 90s, redeemed. And so it is funky. Like it got the swag on it. So the first track, the oldest track, is the Dottie Peoples track. Well, I called Dottie. I was afraid to call her, to be honest with you. And I got a great relationship with her. I just didn't think that she would do something outside of what she does. But I was like, Auntie Dot, I got something for you. But it's different. But I got something. So she said, all right, you know, she let her people listen to it. I demoed it. It sucked the way I demoed it. I ain't get no girl to demo it. And so she was like, I don't know. And I was like, just give me a try. And then my deadline was coming up. So I was like, well, let me call Kimberell to do it. So when I called Kimberell to do it, Daddy Peoples called back. And after Kimberell said she'll do it, Daddy Peoples called back and said, okay, I'll do it. So now I gotta find a song for Kimberell. So then I get a track. I was like, okay, that's perfect for her. Alright. So we set the date. Dottie Peoples is on the way to the studio. Then she says, baby, I can't make it today. We're gonna have to change the date. But I was like, man, I'm a deadline. I'm gonna have to get, man, let me call Darlene McCoy. Darlene McCoy, like, I'll be there in an hour. Let's work. Darlene McCoy get 10 minutes from the studio, and Dottie Peoples called back. Dottie Peoples say, baby, I'll be there in 10 minutes. I said, oh my God. So now, I don't have a song for Darlene. So Darlene shows up in the studio, goes outside. She had to do an interview or something she had to do on radio. She goes outside and the Holy Spirit downloads the hook for her. So when she get there and get out, by the time she come ready to come back in the studio, Dottie Peoples pull up. It's crazy. It's like four songs came out of this Dottie Peoples song. It's crazy. And so I record with Dottie Peoples. And then after that, I do the song with Darlene McCoy. Darlene, the hook. And if you listen to this song with Darlene McCoy, it is a movie because we're recording. And when we do the first hook, I say, God just told me to put your son on it. So call your son. And she said, that, you know, her son is,
himself.
You know what I'm saying? Champ is doing his thing. And Champ. You know, Champ kind of doing, you know, mainstream. He doing his thing. But I was like, it's cool, bro. Do your thing. Come on. Just do your thing. If you cuss, I'm gonna take the words and make sure I bleep them out. But I need your heart. And so he starts rapping his heart. Well, he's on the phone. He doesn't send me his part yet. So now, when we're going back into the studio to finish, Darlene now knows that my son is going to be on this. And I am having a conversation with my son. The song is called You Gotta Be Holy. And she starts off as Darlene McCoy. And in the middle of that song, she turns into mom. And she is screaming out for him. And it's every time I tell the story, it gives me chills. She is screaming out for him in the studio. It's almost like she's begging for his life. Save him, you know. And you can hear all the ad-libs, but she's crying. She drops the headphone. I kept everything in there. I was like, I'm keeping it all. She's crying. And then she puts the headphones back on and starts going back in. And I was like, oh, my God. Well, that song, Champ is on the first verse. I'm on the second verse. Champ represents me when I was at that age, because that's the same thing I was telling my mama. And second verse, I'm talking to me 20 years earlier. So it's like I'm talking to myself in the song, and my mom is saying, you got to be holy, because that's what she used to say when she taught me in song. You got to be holy. You know? And so songs like that, all of that, came from Dottie Peoples. Yep.
Wow. Yep.
Thank God for Dottie.
Man, and the trip about it, before the record dropped, I sent Darlene and Champ the masters just for them to check it out, and they let their family listen to it, and they went on a trip as a family to the cabin. And man, Darlene said she went horseback riding, and Champ went kayaking, and the thing flipped over. and he was dying. He was drowning because he was and he couldn't get out.
Mercy.
And he said the only thing he could hear is his mom screaming on that track. You gotta be holy. Save him. He's your man. Oh my God. And he said his cousin flipped him over at the last minute. And I'm telling you, I'm just like, so you're talking about a movie. Like every song is a story in itself. It's a dimensional record. I don't know how to explain it, but it has, it's all, I call them rooms. It's like, man, this record has rooms. Like when you go in, it's a whole story. I'm not just writing to be writing. These songs are rooms. And so, like 61 songs, take your time going through it. Based off
it'll
of
be
your
a year. It'll be a year. It'll be a year. It'll be a year. It'll be a year.
Hey,
it'll be a year for somebody to sit with this.
Hey, this is hey.
But you said, where do I go after this?
Yeah.
Man, I'm finna drop again, bro. I ain't waiting.
We just can't take all this.
Like here's why. Because most of that record is, like, I got songs that's old Kajo, vintage Kajo, that I never released. Maybe I couldn't clear a sample or couldn't get this business straight on this. But for some reason or another, I did. I got probably 15 of those that's just ready to go, that's just sitting. And then I'm working on a record with Zaytoven, like a whole Zaytoven produced project.
So let's go.
I'm not stopping. Now I will say this. The very aggressive Kajo is not all the way on this. Like it's Kingdom Supremacy, this part two. It's on there a little bit when we talk about, you know, the song Freaking Believer and all of that type of stuff. But I didn't go real aggressive on this. I was more artsy on this project. But the next one, I got a little things to say. So
I mean, you might as well, especially on that Zaytoven project. That better be Jesus and trap music all day. I don't want to hear nothing else. If it don't come out like that, I'm calling you firsthand. Were you okay? Was you and your wife talking this week? I need to know what was going on.
Yeah, I'm trap overdue. But I mean, that's how I am. I'm a moody musician. I get in the mode of wanting to make techno and wanting to make different type of stuff. That's just how I am. But right now, I'm trap overdue. I just want to just do a lot of that. And so, you know, later this year, it's coming. I'm gonna let everybody sit with these other records for a while, and then I'm gonna drop.
Yeah.
But this year, my goal is to we've already set gospel music history with the most songs released in one day.
Wow.
And nice. I'm just,
congratulations to that.
I'm gonna push it up a little bit for the most songs released in one year.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do gotta ask you before we get you out of here, man. What's that one thing you'd change about Black church, man? Come on, man, because I know you've been very vocal.
No,
we gotta. Because I don't know when he's coming back, so I gotta ask. I don't know when he's coming back, and I respect his opinion. Come on and tell me. We need to get the show called The Fix, Dice. We call it The Fix.
It ain't nothing but Black church in Georgia, focus. This is.
I know, and that's why I gotta ask. Where do we need? In your humble opinion, you've been around a lot of bishops, pastors. You done did it all. Church circuits. You done did it all.
Don't say no names.
Please have a Cat Williams spirit. Please have a Cat Williams.
Don't do it.
Dice already know.
I already know.
So
I told him I got kicked out of two churches in Georgia. I mean, what are we talking about? Two, not one, two.
So how we love on each other, is that a fair assessment? Okay.
Nah, I ain't gonna go. That's too nice. I'm gonna do it like this. We are asked not to judge. All right? That's the first thing that people say. Don't judge.
Hmm.
And the people that ask you not to judge are the main judgmental people that judge you.
Mm-hmm.
They judge how you worship. They judge
yeah
how so if a guy or girl is working on something. Let's just say they're working on something. Then don't judge us for, you know, I'm trying to do this thing as political as possible. But but if my man's is up there, man, I'm going to just keep it real. Y'all going to have to clean this. But if my man is up there praising God like a female, all right? And we're asked not to judge that. And we don't judge. We let everybody kind of, you know, work his out. And that's probably what you know, your conversation with God and things that you've been through. I ain't here to judge. I'm just asking you not to judge me when I come up there. Just don't judge me. I ain't judging y'all. I ain't judging you, bro. I got friends, great friends that go through that. I got buddies like, bro, that's, you know, I'm praying for you. But don't judge me when I come in there with my swag and how I praise God. How you gonna judge me and you asking me not to judge you? You know what I'm saying? And so that's the whole thing. Like, come on, man. You know, that's the thing that everybody go to. Well, don't judge. Well, then don't judge me. You know what I'm saying? Like if they gonna let you praise on Sunday morning, knowing that you struggling, why they won't let me praise on Sunday morning, knowing that I'm struggling? What?
True.
What? And so the culture, the African American culture, is not represented in church. The church is surrounded by hip hop. When you get out of church, I don't care what you say or do, you are gonna run slap dab in the hip hop at the gas station, at the grocery store. Hip hop runs your neighborhood if you black. That is just is what it is. Why not worship with that culture? Why not worship with the culture that your church is in? That's like being in Jamaica and not worshiping with reggae.
Right.
What are you? We're gonna worship with country in here, bro. You ain't. Do you understand the culture that you're in? And so we are so behind because we are afraid. I just got a big opinion about this. A lot of times, you know, hip hop guys just don't let anything fly, and we gonna ask questions. You know, we gonna pastor. All right, I was good when you said that, but can you explain this? I don't agree with that, man. You know, and brothers will tell you that they don't agree, and sometimes pastors don't like that. Like, and so sometimes the culture is conducive for. You know, everybody to agree. You know, one alpha and everybody else is, and that's just not reality.
Right.
You know, it's like, man, and also help me, bro. Like, if you know I'm trying to make something happen, help me, pastor. Like, don't be standoffish. You got security and everything, but you calling me your spiritual son? Like, how can I be your son and I can't get to you?
Come on now.
You know, what culture is that? Nah. And so the whole thing about the culture has to be represented on Sunday morning. It is not.
That's good.
It is not at all. And the African American culture is so diverse, and it's so creative, but we don't represent in the triple body. Oh man, but you shouldn't have asked this question. Yeah.
Yeah, I should. Listen, it's a mixtape. It's a mixtape coming out of this, too. It's a mixtape coming out of this. It's a mixtape. Let me know if you need me to mix it for you, man. Let me host that mixtape for you.
Bro. The other part of this, man, is we feel like we holy when we start doing other people's culture. When the song... The more... non-black you are, the holier you become.
Come on.
And that's just not cool. That ain't cool to me. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, I love all types of diversity. I love white people. I love it. But man, we have a culture, and we can't just go to our culture when it's just Negro spirituals and slavery and all. Just the only time we black is when we slaves. That's the only thing you remember about me? You got to understand that before I was a slave, I was a king. So you getting me?
Come on now. Come on now.
Before they were slaves, they were something else before that. And so, man. And so in our churches, man, sometimes, man, when it's about the money, the pastor trying to do the best thing to keep the lights on. I understand that perspective, too. you know, but, you know, there's a culture that's outside your church that you're locking out because you don't allow them to express themselves or have an expression of who they are on your stages. And that's why they don't come to church. Yep.
Well,
and there you have it, Dice.
They need to go on and cash app him. He didn't gave every church the cheat code to what it is. I mean, I know. I've been there, done that. And it's unfortunate, you know. Especially when you're an artist, you're looking for that support, and it stems from your leaders who are saying this is okay, this is not okay. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Support this artist. And I've been there. It's like, are you serious? Like, I'm out here serving, ministering. I'm at Lenox. I'm at Stonecraft. Well, what are we talking about? Like, I'm full and industrial. You're doing what I need to do. But you don't get the same love. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, you could bring somebody who was on Billboard last week.
Yep.
And push them. You know what I'm saying? So
they have the same swag. It just represents one side of our culture. It doesn't represent all of the culture.
All of it, though. Yeah.
You're just representing one side of the culture, which we respect. Yeah. And the truth about it is, we respect it. We get with them. Like, we do. Like, like, y'all just don't get with me. But I get with y'all. I get with all of them.
Right.
And so, like, I feel like just the boldness of who... Like, Pastor, you don't even have to... Let somebody rap on Sunday, it's easy. All you got to do is let him rap with the number two or the number three choir, whichever put him a robe on and just let him rap in the middle of Amazing Grace. And then that's the fulfillment of it. You ain't got to change the song. Just let him rap in the middle of it. Y'all got a live band. Let him rap a little couple bars in the middle of something that y'all already do. He ain't got to do his new song that don't nobody know. Just let him sing with the song that everybody knows and put the rap in the middle of it, and it shows the culture. Or let him stand up there with the deacons when they praying and let him fumble over a prayer. But it shows a representation and a connection that you are at least trying to connect with the community.
Trying to connect.
These people ain't coming from overseas to come to your church. They're coming from across the street.
Come on now.
Wow. You are in a hip hop pastor. I don't know what you've been told, but your church, if you black, you are in an African American neighborhood. Because if you were not, then your church would be empty. Let me just keep it real. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're not doing their culture over there, they leave. You could preach Jesus all you want to, but if the culture of the church is not what we like, we gone.
Yeah.
And we're the only ones that's compromising, you know.
That's
in
good.
In my opinion, you know, everybody's got their opinion. So you ask.
No, that's good.
That's good.
We appreciate you coming through, man. We got to have you back, Ken. It's always fun talking with you, man. Come on and tell the people how they connect with you, follow you on all your social media platforms, where they can go stream your project, and all that good stuff, bro.
Yeah, man. The music is on all platforms. It's called They Stole My Computer, the Quadrilogy, part 1, 2, 3, 4.
Quadrilogy.
It's broken up into four parts, or if you just want to listen to the whole thing, I got a playlist for... All 61 if you driving somewhere. THE Canton Jones, D Canton Jones on all social media platforms, man. Y'all holler at me. Or if you still do emails, bookcantonjones@gmail.com. And y'all connect with us. We're doing a tour this year. We got a KJO Fan Fest coming in the summer, so it's a hot year for us. We're gonna be very aggressive. We're partnering up with churches, man. I'm taking because my sons, they do music too. My daughter, she's in college, but she does music. And we're just gonna, as a family, man, just kind of go to youth ministries or ministries, and praise God with them as we promote his project and promote mine as well. And so, if y'all need us, holler at us. Yes, sir.
The legendary Ken Jones. Yeah. Yeah. The legendary. Yeah. Shouts out to the wife, everybody.
Oh, now.
Yeah. Your whole family, man. We appreciate you, man. Listen, we got to go to a break. We're coming right back with more. Keep it locked. You're tuning to The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Welcome back. Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix, your source of faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. And it's time to get real in these streets, Dice. And we just highlighting all this week. We took a week to just highlight some trailblazers and some pioneers in black culture. It is Black History Month, and I know I wanted to talk about this with you because I know you you have been very vocal about your vegan journey and just eating better, just in general, Dice. Like, just getting people to understand the importance of it is important to realize what what you eat really helps your temple or hurts your temple. When we talk about everything, you know, cancer and everything you can think of, you know, diabetes, high blood pressure, just taking it more seriously. Even me on my faith journey, I've been like, wow. Every time I go in the studio with Dice, she talking about some new carrots I ain't eating. God be like, yeah, you might need to get that in your palate. So just being serious, you have been definitely blessing not just me, but other millions of people, millions of listeners every morning when you come on and you talk about your health journey and just eating better and understanding the balance in and eating better. So wanted to highlight, I know a trailblazer who has been doing some things, powerful things in, with vegan food, Miss CEO herself, Pinky Cole, who is the founder of Slutty Vegan. And I know she has multiple locations. I know my first introduction was her restaurant in Atlanta. That's the first one me and my wife went to maybe 5 years ago. Yeah, I think it was about 5 years ago now, 4 or 5 years ago, somewhere in the last 4 to 5 years. And my wife was like, come on, everybody been talking about it. I want to go. And you know me, Dice, I'm like, babe, I'm telling my wife, baby, I'm not going. I'm not about to waste my time. If I want some real soul food, because they had like vegan mac and cheese and something else. I'm like, no, I want real mac and cheese. I want, what you say that? I want somebody with a fluffy arm that wobble a little bit to make my, I want that. If that cheese, that consistency don't, if I can't pull it back and before I put it in my, I don't want it. So my wife finally talked, needless to say, my wife talked me into it. Shouts out to the wife. Said, you know, we talk to your husband into something. And I'll be honest with you, Doc, I actually enjoyed it. I went to it. I had a meal and I actually enjoyed it. And I was tripping that this was all vegan in a sense. So, yeah, just, I know you, I said a lot, but I know you want to share just in general, you know, the vegan Pinky Cole, some of the history. I know, a lot of history on her as well as a lot of vegan restaurant owners.
Yeah. Shout out to Pinky, doing her thing. And we, like I said, I think off of air, we had reported on her before, like overcoming adversity, trying that restaurant in New York and not making it, but not giving up on the dream, you know, just relocating, restarting. And I think she realized, I just need to get in the right community that understands what I'm saying. And so, like I was talking to you off air, the beautiful in Atlanta is a place that has always had vegan food. But the one restaurant I really wanted to bring up was Soul Vegetarian Focus. And for me, these are the restaurants that kicked off veganism in Georgia in the South, period. Like, Soul Vegetarian has been in business for like 40 to 50 years. So I don't know. Like, when people are like, oh, the vegan is a thing, it just became a thing in 2000. No, it's been a thing since 1970 in Atlanta, Georgia, for sure. Like, from the Rastas who, like, especially me, you know, I was on my Rastafariism at one point. And, you know, when I would go to get my hair locked up or twisted, you know, like, there's a huge community of brothers and sisters who would share with you. You are what you eat. You are what you eat, period. You ain't going to get away from that. Whatever you're putting in your body is affecting your body. And so, man, I grew my hair out, focused all the way down my back in like 5 years, like switching my diet. And so, I love all things vegetarian, but, for me, you know, much props to all of you who came before Pinky, and Atlanta knows everything I'm talking about. And I think Pinky does as well. Like, there wouldn't even be opportunity for her restaurants in Atlanta if there wasn't already a vegan community that wanted her food. You understand what I'm saying? Hello.
Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. I'm ATL all day. I'm like, man, y'all better put some respect on ATL. Like, we've been ahead of the game from a health perspective for a long time. And I'm just grateful because I think I shared the story with you, Focus. My doctor was the one who suggested a restart, a vegan cleanse when I was sick, a Morehouse doctor. You know, so it's like, there has been an awareness in the African-American community there that food is affecting your diabetic response. You know, food is affecting, if you're allergic to something, food is affecting how you breathe out here. You know, your food is, it's feeding you. So if you don't have any living food in you, well, you're probably going to die sooner than you should have, should. But yeah, I love it, man. All the, shout out to all, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, no, you brought some key points. And I think when you talk about from the health standpoint that you went on that plant-based diet, vegan diet,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why do you think so many people do not want to embrace this way or this diet to do the reset? Because to your point, I've been on some, not 100% vegan, but more of vegetable like detoxes that I know mm-hmm. has been very beneficial to me. So yeah, shouts out to y'all who don't think some of these detoxes and some of these cleanses work. Just to back up what Dice is saying, yes, they do. You feel different. You wake up different. You have more energy. Listen, mm-hmm. I even saw my wife noticed the pupils in my eyes, my pupils. like they were getting like more, like it was more color to them. Like, I don't know if they were like a, you know, sometimes they can be like, you know, a different color, if that makes sense. Like, like a, you know, so yeah, just in general, I was like, wow, my skin mm-hmm. shining a little bit. I ain't even putting my shea butter all on my face mm-hmm. and it's still shining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. Whatever you're eating, it comes to your pores. That's why when you see people that have really bad acne, it's a gut issue. Like, you don't even have to, you ain't got to think about nothing. It's a gut issue. So if their skin is breaking out, you can tell if somebody has too much yeast in their system. You can tell if somebody has not enough water. You know how you know alligator skin, or your face starts to dry up, your legs start to dry up. You can tell if somebody has something wrong with their kidneys, their skin will start to yellow, you know, or their eyes may start to yellow, you know, like, so you can tell what a person has going on the inside just by looking at their skin. And what people don't understand, focus, is that's your largest organ. Like, we try to be dismissive and say, okay, well, I put my deodorant on here. I put my shea butter on here. I put my lotion on here. I put my chapstick on here. It's all connected, because your skin is one big piece of skin and it works together. That's why sometimes if you touch something, maybe you get it on your hand and your whole arm or have an allergic reaction, because it's all connected. So it'll just start traveling up your arm and up your shoulder because it's all one piece of skin. So that's why it's important, like I said, in doing my detox, when my doctor, and shout out to her, she's an African-American female doctor, she was explaining to me, you need to switch up all of your products. And I almost had a fit when she told me that, you know, but I was more sick. And I was like, I'm willing to do anything at this point. So I switched to Dr. Bronner's soap. I switched to a Castile soap. I switched to a soap that I could actually eat and I wouldn't die. You know, like, and I mean that, like, I wouldn't eat soap, but if I swallowed it, it wouldn't kill me, because it didn't have any formaldehyde in it. It didn't have any perfumes in it. It didn't have any, you know, it was made out of cocoa butter and castor oil, you know? So it was like, or olive oil, you know? Things like the shea butter, you know, you can cook with shea butter, you can cook with coconut oil, you can cook with castor oil. Like, these are things you could cook with. And when I finally got it and it clicked, I was like, wow, this is crazy. Like, the whole time I've been putting all these different soaps, you know, and that's, I've said it before, if you flip a box over and you don't know what all this is on the back, you probably don't need to put it on. You probably
that's
don't.
Real.
But we just do
it
anyway.
Or need to eat it. Yeah. Or need to eat
it. Oh, we don't need it. Yeah, but we're so lazy. We would trust another man or woman who don't even know us to feed us. We'd trust another man or woman who they're not even in our house or in our shower to give us the soap to wash with. And so as humans, that's why I said we got to stop blaming God when we get cancer. You got to stop doing that. Like, history shows, like, maybe my whole family has been using Zest. I'm only saying that because they got formaldehyde in their soap. Maybe my whole family has been using a certain lotion for years. Well, now I got, my whole family is using the same product with the same toxin. So what, now when I have a baby who's allergic to something, I don't get to blame God. I get to blame myself, because I'm like, well, what have we been doing? Same thing with food and African-Americans. Like, if I'm eating pig feet, hog maw, fried chicken, and we've been doing this for 30 years, and now my grandbaby got high cholesterol and I don't know why. No, you know why. Stop blaming the devil. Don't do that. We need to take a look at what have we been doing for 30 years? Oh, we've been feeding ourselves fat and grease for 30 years. That's why we have a problem breathing. Yes. Don't blame God, because God didn't make fried chicken. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is, focus. But being a vegan is a good thing to do. And here's the thing, it's hard for everybody. But if you ever get sick enough, and shout out, like I said, to everybody who just went vegan because they love the animals. You know, I actually walked into it because I was sick, you know, and going in and out of the hospital and had to do a reset. It was like, and then when we did the reset, and this is the beautiful thing about the body, when you give it what God made, it actually course corrects. It's like,
yeah,
thank
that's
you.
Real.
I just wanted you to give me what I needed so I can grow and get the toxins out and actually give you the nutrients you need, you know, for your blood. But you know what I'm saying? So it's like, once you do that, you, like you said, you feel better, you feel lighter, you're cleaner, your skin glows, you got more energy. You know what I'm saying? Your cholesterol goes down, your high blood pressure goes down, diabetes goes away. So it's like, yeah, whatever you are, what you eat. And on my rant, you do have some great restaurants that are Black owned in America. Belmont Vegetarian Restaurant in Massachusetts, New Vegan in Washington, D.C., Binge Kitchen in San Antonio, Texas, Wisdom's Vegan Bakery and Cafe in Texas, Spring, Texas, that is. You have, what is this, Dajin Eats in Eatontonville, Florida, Stuff I Eat in Los Angeles, California, Slutty Vegan in Atlanta, Georgia, Sweet Soul Food in New Orleans, Louisiana, The Southern V in Nashville, Tennessee, Vegalicious Cafe in Nashville, Tennessee. So it's like major cities now have, you know, like you said, greens, sweet potatoes, macaroni, cheese, bread, see, chicken.
I'm upset now too, now Dice. You ain't say nothing about Ohio. Ohio didn't make that list. I ain't got nowhere in Ohio.
I ain't got one.
So that's what I'm trying to say. I'm upset.
You got one over there. Come on now.
You ain't got none over there. Listen.
Come on now. Y'all got a vegan restaurant. Y'all got everything over there. I've been over there.
No. We got a lot of soul food. Yeah. We got markets where we can go market. So don't get it twisted. You right. Dice walked in my market that me and my wife go to, and she's picking out stuff we ain't never picked up.
Y'all had everything. Y'all had the little spiral garlics. Y'all had the Japanese yams. I was like, y'all got everything. So I know there has to be one restaurant making all that food somewhere.
I couldn't tell you, Dice.
Hold that.
Yeah. Listen, we got to go to a quick break. We're just highlighting some Black trailblazers. We're talking about a CEO of Slutty Vegan, Pinky Cole, today, and just eating a vegan diet. So keep it locked, because some of y'all need to be more healthy. You tuned into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
And we back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble, in the middle of this Real Talk conversation. We just continue to highlight some movers and shakers and trailblazers from our Black community, our culture. And we're talking about, listen, shouts out to everybody who's trying to eat a little bit better. Maybe you need to go on a vegan diet. We're talking about the success of Pinky Cole, the owner, CEO of Slutty Vegan. And Dice, I was telling you off air, my wife was really selling me on going to this place, and I wasn't really for it. But then she went to the social media page, and she showed me how people were standing in line. And while they were standing in line, the entire crew from, you know, the Slutty Vegan was out there entertaining and taking orders all in the same way. So that was kind of cool to me. Pinky realizing the impact that social media can have on influencing people to come to her restaurant. Again, shouts out to everybody that really understands what social media was actually made for. It actually was made for to market your brand, market your businesses, not a lot of the other foolishness we do on there. So that right there sold me. I was like, all right, I go. I told my wife, I said, all right, you got me. Because she was like, come on. I've been trying to go. We here 4 days. We didn't eat everywhere you want to eat. I want to go somewhere and eat what I want to eat. So we went and tried it. And again, like I say, it was amazing. But yeah, again, using that social media as a presence to promote the business, that was a selling point for me to even go. So shouts out to Pinky. And like I said, a lot of other CEOs need to take advantage of social media and use it in the right way, and not some of the other ways that our culture do. And it got me eating healthy for a day. I did it for a day, Dice. I ain't gonna say I did it all the time, but I did it for a day. I didn't even feel right eating nothing different after that, Dice. I'll be honest with you. I ate that meal, and I was like, I felt convicted. I wanted pizza later that night. I was like, I ain't gonna get it. I'm gonna at least do the right thing for this day.
Wow. Yeah, no. Like I said, you have a lot of people who realize that people like to be entertained. And before my brother, who I was in commune with, you know, the group that I used to be in Georgia, he's in California. There was a truck idea that he had had for, you know, us in California. And then obviously this went, you know, kind of sideways, but same concept, outside, having different artists perform, having music, you know, it's pretty much a mobile restaurant, you know, same, you know, vegan food. I had actually come up with a menu focus and the whole nine. Like, I was supposed to be in Europe for 12 weeks in 2020, right before COVID happened, to go to chef school, turns out. And then, boom, that got snatched away from me. But there's a huge market for it. Huge market for it. Even now, for vegan food. Honestly, if these regular restaurants would put more, I can't say more vegan food on their menu, but if you would add a few things to your menu, you would get more clientele, because everybody just doesn't eat the same anymore. People are more aware of their health. You know, that's why A Slutty Vegan is blowing up, because the older generation loves it, younger generation loves it. And who doesn't love to be entertained while you're waiting on your food?
Yeah, that's real.
So it's a perfect setup. I think the world is changing. In 2030, we have a lot of the green summits that kick in. And so for those of you who are not paying attention, I may have to do a little reporting on the news about it just to keep you in the loop. The goal is to get more people to have urban gardens in their space. And I've been saying it on the show quite often, like, y'all going to have to start growing your food. I mean, I'm saying that, but I'm saying it because that is the goal. China is leading, and we get half of our food from China, for those of you who do not know. So imagine if our relationship with China breaks. Okay.
Wow.
So I'm just saying, over half of our food, we do not grow here. We exchange our grains and things like that. But yeah, so you talk about when you're missing your strawberries and your blueberries, you know, you're going to be like, I guess I got to go grow mine. Yeah, I guess you do. You got to have to go grow them. So we have to wake up as a community and understand, yes, one, veganism, it's good for you. It's really good for you. And two, you should want to have more food on your plate, more food in your refrigerator, more food in your kitchen that is living for your health benefit. But also, you know, one day you might actually have to have a vegan diet. It might not even be that it's your choice. It might be that, you know, the emissions and now we don't have enough cows because, you know, we got to cut back on cows. You know what I'm saying? This is a real issue. So these guys that are doing the restaurants like a Pinky and all that, they're ahead of the game right now. They're like, yep, I'm gonna go ahead and set up shop and give me a couple locations, because one day you might have to eat here. It might not even be an option. If you want a steak, it might be your $2,200 steak instead of $20. So
yeah, that's real.
Yeah, that's true.
I think too as well, something you had, you need to do when you talk about eating more plant-based or just more vegetables and fruit. Mm-hmm. Listen, produce is expensive. It seems like produce is expensive, Dyke.
The price keeps going up, don't it?
Yeah, it does seem like the price keep going up. Yep. I promise you, me and my wife just went and got some stuff, and we like we spent $60. We had two bags, and it wasn't a steak, a piece of chicken, or a piece of fish in there.
Oh yeah, but it's because people are not invested in their own. Think about this. Think about how many people in the world eat every. Okay, let's just say 8 billion people. Let's just put a number on it. 8 billion people. They're either eating 1 to 6 meals a day. How many of those people are farmers or are growing their food? How many?
Yeah. Yeah, that's real.
So yeah, if I'm a farmer and I'm out here all day slaving away, tilling the soil and the land, and I got to pay all these taxes because y'all playing games with me about picking my food up and taking it to the grocery stores. Yes, I got to upcharge you now, because I'm out here, and they're getting older too, because you don't have a lot of people, young farmers, you know, you just don't. You know, so shout out to all the farmers who are getting into the game. Obviously, we did the research. We want a farm. We researched. We can get about $400K to get a farm in Georgia. But $400K and you having a farm, that's not a lot of money.
No,
you know
it's
what
not.
I mean? It's not a lot of money. No, so it's like, you know, by the time we flip that and turn that, all that fruit, vegetable, everything we sell, we're going to have to charge a decent price to even get half of our money's back. And we won't make any money that first year. So yeah, yeah. As farmers, they're gonna have, you have to charge, and then everything else, like I said, is getting shipped from another country. So we, as people here in America, need to learn to grow our food. Even if you're just doing peppers, tomatoes, and greens, something simple and easy you can grow in the house. They even have little grow boxes. You can put them in your garage and just grow what you need to grow. And then, like you said, folks, I don't have to spend $60 on the basics, lettuce and kale. I got lettuce and kale at home. You know what I'm saying? Lettuce and kale grow in my living room upstairs. So it's like, yeah, I don't have to spend money on that. Now, if I want, you know, if I want some shrimp, I know I ain't going boating, okay? I ain't going out here and getting no shrimp. So I'm going to be paying for the shrimp, okay? Paying for that.
Hey, yeah. Listen, you know what? I actually thought about that. I would actually want to do that. That would probably be one of the most adventurous things I would want to do. Like go out there on one of those big fish boats. Whatever, just like on one of those big fish boats, whether it be, you know, lobster, whether it be shrimp, whether it be fish, crab, okay. It didn't matter. Like, okay. Just to see that net, it with all that, you know what I'm saying? Just
all that
seafood
food
just coming up. Oh,
now.
My goodness.
I know.
I can hear the grease frying in my house. I can just hear the grease. Yeah, shouts out to the extra virgin violet, the extra virgin oil.
Olive oil, right?
Yeah,
I feel that.
Yeah,
butter
We saw saying something.
I feel that though. Yeah. I mean, that's why I said yes. Yeah. So we need to start growing stuff at home. And I think we need to add more vegetables to our plate. So yeah, shout out to all the vegan restaurants out here. Yeah.
Yep. Listen, that's it for our Real Real. We got to go to a break, but don't touch that dial. We're coming right back with more. You tuned in to The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
When I am lacking, I ask of you. Your wisdom you give generously. Blessed am I when I find you. Your advice is what I hold higher than any other opinion. Let me strive for righteousness. Using your intelligence, I am protected in it. I am encouraged by it. Pure from heaven, answering all of my prayers is your almighty knowledge. Your understanding is the greatest. Let me never forsake your insight. I welcome your instruction. I welcome all of your direction. Let my life be wise. In every opportunity, help me to make the sharpest choice. There is nothing I won't give up for your knowledge. Take my thoughts and give me yours. Who is wiser than you? No one. Let me not be the fool who thinks they are all-knowing. Keep me humble in my decisions. Help me to handle others with your discernment. I thank you for sharing perspective. I thank you for showing me the way to live. By your holy order, make my judgment sound. Enlighten me as you light my path. When I am lacking, I ask of you. Your wisdom, you give generously. Blessed am I when I find you. I'm Dice Gamble. And this has been your Quick Fix.
And we back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. And that's it for the day. When I tell y'all this show was off the hook today, one for the books. K-Jo came on here spitting a little bit today. He had some things he had to get off his chest, huh, Dice?
Yeah, he did. He got a lot off his chest, but also let us know a lot about what was going on with the music. And I super appreciate that. Just the breakdown of the songs, who's on the songs and what the songs really mean. And, you know, just hearing about his persistence and things like that. Like, I genuinely appreciated him coming on here. Of course, you know, all things ATL, you know, I'm in favor of. So shout out to Ramon and his wife. And that was a great interview. For those of you who missed it, like, you're going to have to catch that again. You're going to have to double back.
Yeah, make sure tomorrow you go to holyculture.net to get the replay on holyculture.net.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all going to wait for that one. That one going to drop on the podcast platform as well as the YouTube channel. That thing going to be doing crazy numbers. Because, mm-hmm. he was dropping some gems. So shouts out to everybody. Listen, waking up with us on the West Coast. We thank y'all. Listen, the love y'all have been giving us on social media and emails, just welcoming us and telling us, mm-hmm. glad we on for 4 hours. We appreciate that. Continue to send us that love and them DMs and those emails. And we're going to continue to make sure we shout y'all out too as well. Yeah. And again, if you're not already following us, please follow us on all social media platforms at The Fix Radio Show. That's DAFIXX Radio Show. Mm-hmm. Instagram, Threads, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube. Please like, comment, subscribe, and turn on that notification bell so you can get all the up-to-date YouTube content when we put it out, the exclusive spiritual detox interview. So, yeah, we out of here. We're going to get out of here, y'all. Listen, it's a great Tiptoe Tuesday. Go out and be great today. We're going to catch y'all tomorrow. Y'all going to tap in. We got another Christian R&B gospel singer that's going to join us tomorrow. I ain't going to tell y'all like I told y'all yesterday. Y'all just going to tap in and listen, wait for it. But, yeah, you want to keep it locked because, yeah, again, we're going to have a bunch of different exclusive interviews coming up these next few weeks. So make sure you tell a friend about everything we're doing right here with the Fix Radio Show. Everybody on Holy Culture Radio. Listen, don't touch that dial. We got our sis, Raina Day, and Ant coming on next with the Daylight Morning Show. Mm-hmm. Of course, we got What It Bees Like coming on at 2 o'clock today. And of course, you know, got Wado coming on at 6 p.m. tonight. So tap in. And I think, we got 116 Life on tonight too as well. Yes, Tuesday. Yeah. 116 Life is on tonight too as well, I believe, after Wado. But listen, go to holyculture.net for the complete lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you know every day what shows are on. Follow, like, listen, tear all our comments up.
Come on now.
We need y'all support. Tell all your friends about us. Mm-hmm. Tell the people what we're doing. Listen, if you want to advertise with us, you got a business, got a company, come on and email us. Let's advertise. Let's get your business in front of millions of listeners. You know, just want to put that
there.
Out
go.
There.
There we
millions
go.
Millions of listeners. Shouts out to millions of listeners.
Millions.
Yeah. Shouts out to SiriusXM for having not just listeners, subscribers. Let's be very clear. Faithful subscribers that you can tap in. So, yeah, if you want to advertise with us, listen, reach out to us at thefixradioshow@gmail.com for all your advertising packages, and we get that thing popping. All right, y'all. We love y'all. We catch y'all tomorrow. Same time, same place.
Mm-hmm.
As always, remember to stay focused on turning your negative into a positive. Jesus Christ is always the answer. Kingdom advancement should always be the goal. The fix is in. We out.
Peace, y'all.